Generous support for Coastal Windage comes from Cameron's Restaurant Pub and Inn, and now RV Park. Cameron's is the only true British pub on the coastside, featuring 19 beers on tap and more than 60 brands of bottles. Come for the food and stay for the fun. Happy hour specials Monday through Friday. Open mic night on Thursday and karaoke on Friday and Saturday. Cameron's Restaurant Pub in Half Moon Bay.
It's summer on the coast, and you know what that means. No, not more fog. It means Ruben is on vacation, and it's time for the Summer Mike Series. Here's your host for the Summer Mike Series, Crystalyn.
Coastside, happy Friday. I hope you're out there soaking up the sun that we had this week. Personally, 70 was feeling very hot to me, as somebody who likes to wear hooded sweatshirts all day, every day. But I hope you guys were having more fun with it. Today I will be joined by a super special guest, Marika Holmgren, who is the owner of the Main Street Shop Hometown Mercantile. And if you want to call in and chat with us, we have a special number this morning. So please take this down, because the other number will go big heaps of nowhere for you today. So please call 650-712-1233. That seems easy. 650-712-1233. All right, let's dive in. Good morning, Marika.
Good morning, Crystalyn. It is so nice to be here. Thank you so much for asking me to join.
I was so excited that you said yes. You're one of my favorite people. So for people who may not, for some reason, be familiar with Main Street, let us know, where is your shop and what types of stuff are you selling there, and what kind of goodies does Hometown Mercantile have?
Thank you. So we are Hometown Mercantile. We're at 416 Main Street. And a lot of you probably know the shop. It's been around for quite some time. Prior to me owning it, it was owned by Natasha Davenport, who created a really beautiful space. The space is really designed to be a spot where we combine comfort and luxury. And the idea is to make you feel at home in your hometown or ours.
We love it. And it's actually, for those of you who have been to the studio before, it's actually in the same building. It's right below us. So every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m., we're just screaming over your head all morning.
Wonderful. Well, we hope you guys stop in right after. We usually open at 10:30. You know, as everybody probably knows, Main Street's a little bit of a sleepy spot where most of us kind of open our shops around 10:30 or so. We really like to luxuriate in the morning before getting to work.
The fun thing is going to the coffee shop at 9 a.m. because you'll run into so many people there, because the nice, relaxed start to the morning.
That's right. I would say I particularly abuse that luxury sometimes, because I'll do yoga in the morning and I'll go straight to the shop sometimes. Yes. In my yoga clothes. So it's that kind of spot.
Yes. Well, that's also the nice thing about being the boss. Yes. You get to set the tone.
That's right. And if I'm 5 minutes late, my boss won't yell at me.
Yes, so be it. And you made mention that the shop was originated by another awesome, sweet lady, but that you took it over. How long ago was that? And then what made you get into being a shop owner?
Well, that's an interesting story. Do you want the long version or do you want the short version?
We have an hour. Let's fill it up.
All right. Mm-hmm. You got it. So this is an interesting story. And I think a lot of you who are close to me know the story. Some of you might not know the story. Some of you have heard it. So here goes. Hometown Mercantile was one of my all-time favorite shops. I consider myself somebody who really likes to create a cozy home, really likes to be surrounded by beautiful things. And so I shopped at Hometown Mercantile for a very long time. In fact, if you walk into my home and you walk into Hometown Mercantile, you'll feel a little sense of deja vu because they're very similar. Natasha had such a beautiful style that I really connected with, and she was such a lovely person, and she was the kind of shop owner that I still strive to be, where you could just go in, even if you weren't going to buy something, and chit-chat. And to me, that's really part of the beauty of owning a shop and being a shopkeeper on Main Street, is that community aspect. But the story of how I bought the shop is really interesting, because my career leading up to this has been wildly different from shop owning. And I think that might be true for some other shopkeepers out there. I spent my 20s as a community organizer working on environmental issues. Then I spent the next two decades starting, owning, and running a company that produced very high profile events for progressive nonprofit organizations around San Francisco. So I did that for a very long time. And in 2022, I decided that it was time to step down. As some people know, I've been battling a health issue for a long time. I'm a cancer patient, an active cancer patient. And it really felt like the stress of event planning was something that was not compatible with being a full-time cancer patient. So with the support of my doctors, my family, et cetera, my staff, I did decide to sell Do Good Events, which was the company I'd created 22 years earlier, and that was very successful and a lot of fun and producing wonderful events. So I sold that company in April of 2022, and my plan was to really step back and be sort of a little bit more relaxed for a while and have a slower paced life. But those people who know me know that that is not my style. I don't sit still very well. So maybe that's a good thing.
We should know. You are Velcroed into the seat right now.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. I'm looking around the rooms, so lots of things I want to go touch and look at and get into, but I'm going to sit here and chat.
ADHDers unite.
Correct. That is, yes, spot on. So I walked into Hometown Mercantile in December of 2022, and Natasha mentioned that she was going to be moving to South Carolina. And I had this really strong reaction of, well, what's going to happen to the shop? Is it going to close? She said, no, I'm going to sell it. And I had what I call a full body yes.
Yes.
Which was, this needs to be mine.
Aww.
I need to do this. I don't know how. I don't know why. I don't know when. But this is me. This is my next shop. My next thing, because I'd never owned a shop. Natasha and I went back and forth for a little bit. And on April 1st, 2023, I took over the shop.
Oh, that's so amazing.
And it's been the biggest joy ever. An absolute pleasure to be doing this work.
Oh, and you do it very, very well. So in true Busy Bee fashion, you have been with the Downtown Association. You've been very active with the Chamber. You've been very active in the different community pieces that happen in and around Main Street. And it's so fun to watch you maneuver through all of these things with such grace and beautiful style.
Thank you.
Both in the things you carry for the shop and personally, always looking just fabulous.
Thank you. Thank you. Style and interest in shopkeeping actually goes back three generations in my family. My grandparents were Greek immigrants, and they started shops and very successfully ran shops for their entire career. My mother owned a home decor shop in her, I think, probably early 30s in Gloucester, Massachusetts. And then my mom, in her sort of encore career after raising us kids, she became an antique dealer. So she had a shop then. And to be totally honest, Crystalline, when I was a kid, I couldn't have been less interested. My mom took me to antique shows. I went to flea markets. I could not stand it. I just wanted to be at the mall shopping for new shiny things with my friends. So the ironic thing is now coming full circle and realizing that I'm a third generation shopkeeper.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
And I think just hearkening back to your long events career, I feel like working in events, and especially like the large scale events that you would work on, as somebody who's similar, as a part of my job, works on events, of working on events, like, they prepare you for almost everything. And it's like, because you never know what you're going to get with an event, you never know what people's personalities are going to be, you never know how different people are going to react under different levels of stress, you get very akin to seeing a fire pop up and decide if it's a fire to roast marshmallows on or a fire that needs the extinguisher. And I feel like that probably set you up pretty well to be able to handle the shop owning, because you're so used to having literally the most bizarre, random, unexpected things come at you in the heat of trying to put on something that has entertainment and food and like all of these thousand aspects and multitasking.
Absolutely. That's 100% right. And I love your fire analogy. I wish I had had it and been able to use it.
Honestly,
those
Kim,
many years.
I thought of it right now. So
it's actually a really good one, because what I used to explain to my staff, and to some degree, this is really transferable to owning a shop, is that there's never going to be a time when everything goes exactly to plan. Let's be honest. That's transferable to almost anything.
Yeah.
There's never going to be a time when every single thing goes to plan. What matters is how you react to it and how you handle it.
In fact, if you have an event where something doesn't go sideways, you're not paying attention.
That's correct. That's correct. And what's interesting is some of it is visible to the people that are attending. Most of it is not.
Yes.
And so as an event planner, and I think as a shopkeeper, and doing what you do, Krystalyn, because you're so incredibly active in so many elements of what happens in the town, is behind the curtain and in front of the curtain. Mm-hmm. I used to use this analogy all the time with my team. I'd say, listen, behind the curtain, go back, scream, wail, cry, throw things. I don't care. In front of the curtain, you are professional. You are composed, you keep it together.
Yeah.
And when somebody asks you a question you don't know the answer to, you never say, I don't know. You say, let me go find out for you.
Yeah.
And then you go find out.
One of the favorite things that I heard from another event professional many, many moons ago, but literally brought my whole perspective on events and changed how I handled events and things and just really any situation, was in most situations, nobody knows what it was supposed to be. They just That's know right. what it is.
That's right.
And so if what it is good enough and not tragic and burning down, then just take it and run with it. And you can do the postmortem and figure out how to make it better next time or whatever. But allow the people, whether it's attending the event or going into the shop or whatever, allow them to enjoy it because they will most likely enjoy it.
That's right.
Because they didn't know what it was supposed to be.
That's right. I think that we all, and this is true in so many careers,
yeah.
we get in our own way. You know, we make perfect the enemy of the good. And the reality is, when we're doing event production, when we're doing shopkeeping, I try to keep it in perspective that nobody's life is in my hands.
Yes.
These are things that we can pivot on very easily, usually. Right now, I'm in the process of opening a sister store.
Woohoo!
Yay. So we hope you'll all come on September 13th for the grand opening of Hometown Corner Shop. And that space is right at the corner of Mill and Main. It's right where the Sushi Main extension used to be. And we're about 2 weeks away from opening. And in true fashion, we have the windows sort of all blacked out with paper. And so nobody knows what's happening behind the window.
And but it's gorgeous.
And it's gorgeous. And it's also chaos. But it's well-managed chaos. And that's the difference, is there's chaos and there's well-managed chaos. Mm-hmm. A certain level of chaos is to be expected when you're creating something, when you're making something happen. And you better believe every single day we are pivoting on things that we expected to happen that aren't happening, things that we thought were available that aren't available, things that we simply can't get right now because of the tariffs. That's a whole other story. But right now, we really have had to pivot what we bring into the shop and what we don't bring into the shop, simply because we can't pass those costs on to the customer. So every day I'm making pivots. Mm-hmm. Every night at 10 p.m. I'm making pivots. 3 in the morning when I'm thinking of something, I'm making pivots. But that's part of what makes you successful, is not getting so attached to that original vision, but being able to be fluid and flexible. Mm-hmm. It's the analogy that I've always used. I was a mountain biker for a very long time and a snowboard instructor for a very long time. Both of those sports require you to have an athletic stance. You're required to really keep your knees bent and absorb the bumps. Mm-hmm. And that is transferable to any career. That if you go into your career or go into any life experience with stiff legs, expecting everything to be smooth, preparing only for a smooth ride, then you're gonna hurt yourself.
Yeah.
But if you keep your knees bent, you absorb the bumps, you embrace the bumps, mm-hmm. like I did as a kind of a crazy mountain biker for a long time, and I've got the broken bones to prove it. But I really loved the bumpy rides.
Yeah.
Because I knew how to bend my knees and absorb them.
One of my favorite sayings that I used to have on my computer, my first 2 years as chamber executive, was smooth seas never made for skilled sailors.
That's a really, really good saying. I think it's much better when you learn to be ready for anything. Mm-hmm. And again, not just in careers, but in life.
Yeah.
Because as we get older, I'm midlife, and my friends were all going through things. And what I've realized is it's not unique to me, it's not unique to them, it's not unique to the time. It is part of living on this planet for 5 decades.
Yeah.
That things start to happen. And so in each of those moments, the more that we can be ready, mm-hmm. the more that we can recognize this is happening, this is part of life, how do I handle it?
Yeah.
Then the better off we are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And especially when you can think, or you can allow yourself to let go of the thought of something. So it's very interesting when people are going through huge changes in their life, and then they try to hold on to what their old life was. So just, you know, with that clenched fist and, you know, their face starts turning red because they're just trying so hard to hold on to it. And it's like, you could hold on to it and be sad and angry and actually probably make the situation much worse through worrying and being intense about it. Or there's little pieces that, you know, if you can just allow yourself to let them go, then there's a really good chance that that's going to lead you to being more happy. And then allow, when you're happy, then you allow things that are much better, like a random conversation with your favorite shop person.
That's right.
To find out that there's, you know, going to be some transition, and now you can own this beautiful shop that you've loved for so long.
That's right. That's right. I think that's exactly right. I read a quote that I don't remember exactly, but it had to do with what makes you beautiful, and what makes you beautiful is having sort of risen through the ranks and dealt with adversity, mm-hmm. that dealing with things, being able to overcome things is really what makes you beautiful.
Yeah.
And I wish I could remember the exact quote, but I do think that, taking what happens to us and letting it be something that makes us stronger, makes us wiser, and that we travel through those adversities to see what's on the other side of it, mm-hmm. is really powerful for a lot of people. My owning Hometown Mercantile would never have come about without my cancer diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And I am not one of these people who says cancer is a gift, because if it's a gift, can I get the return receipt?
Yeah.
Maybe turn it in for something else. However, cancer has led me to a lot of really amazing experiences. Mm-hmm. I was originally diagnosed in 2007. So we're talking about, you know, 18 and a half years ago. And then I was re-diagnosed with advanced cancer in 2017. And in both of those stretches, which I'm still going through now, there has been a lot that I've done and seen and created that wouldn't have happened without that diagnosis. So again, it's not that I call cancer a gift, but what I've tried to do is, between all the treatments and all the challenges, is to take from it what I can.
Yeah. And I think that also is true for lots of other situations and traumas and things like that, because one of what I feel like my core strengths is my intuition about people and being able to read situations and think ahead about, like, well, if this, then this. And that pretty much 100% stems from childhood, you know, based trauma, and things like that. And my parents were really great in not allowing me, allowing me to live through that trauma and get through it and, acknowledge it and all of those things, but with, but not let me dwell on it and let it take me down. And, so I do think it's just really wonderful when somebody can take a, and if you, for those who know me, I would really want to use a bad word right now, but if you were, you know, given a, you know, poopy sandwich, the ability to not let it have, not let it take you down and just find ways to flourish and use it as a gift instead of just closing down and going into dark places, right. Which we all go into dark places.
Absolutely.
I am not saying that my everyday is filled with rainbows and sunshines, regardless of what clothes I wear and smile I put on my face.
That's right. Because you do outwardly show the rainbows, and that's what we love.
Thanks.
It's one of the many things we love about Crystalyn. We need to get you back to your pink hair.
Yes.
It's a little softer now.
I have to pay. I need to help pay for a wedding now. So,
which is more important than the pink hair?
It currently is.
And if you need any advice, you know who to come to for the wedding.
Yes, absolutely.
But I think that's exactly right, Crystalyn. And I think the reality is, you know, hearing from you, and you're one of the most talented, engaged people that I know. And I don't just mean engaged, engaged.
Yeah.
She's got a beautiful ring, by the way. But I do think that you give so much to Half Moon Bay, and we all just enjoy being around you. And to hear that part of your story of who you are and why you are the way you are is because of things that have happened in your childhood is such a reminder that we don't know what people are going through.
Yes.
We don't know what your past is. And a lot of my clients know about my cancer diagnosis. Some do not. The ones that don't know are often very surprised because I appear very well. I am very energetic. I am a naturally very high energy person. I think you can relate to that.
Well, out in the world, I'm high energy. The second the door closes on my house, I am probably the slowest, slothiest person you've ever come across.
That is, there's a term I just saw on Instagram called lazy ambitious.
Yes.
And I think maybe you and I have that in common, because I always say I have an on button and an off button.
Yep.
And when I go home, I'm like a toy that powers down.
Mm-hmm.
It's like meow.
Yep.
And I really lean into that couch into the Netflix.
Yes. My Nintendo Switch and I, Animal Crossing.
Right.
I mean, my island looks phenomenal.
I love that for you. I do. I love that for you. I'm really more of a passive kind of, you know, what sort of Nordic noir can I watch on Netflix? You know, if it's subtitled, set in Scandinavia in the winter, and there's crime involved, I'm in. Just sign me up. Not enough of it out there to keep me entertained.
Actually, you might want to have a conversation with Councilman Patrick Johnson, because he is Swedish by birth and knows Swedish and goes all the time, and he was trying to, because my heritage is Swedish on both parents' side, and he started asking me questions about, and I'm like, I don't know, but I feel like he might be able to have a real great conversation with you.
Yes, I love it. I also am half Swedish.
Oh, nice.
Yes, my grandparents on my dad's side were Swedish immigrants. They are from Skåne. Okay, don't correct me if I just said that wrong, Patrick. I think you're probably listening, and you know, I'm sure I said it wrong. But my grandparents were Swedish immigrants, and that's a very funny combo, by the way, to be half Swedish and half Greek, because my dad was 6'4" and blonde, blue eyed, and my mom was 5'2" with dark eyes and dark hair. And my mom, I take after my mom. I'm very chatty and loud. And my dad, my brother, takes after my dad. He's very stoic and thoughtful, but very stoic. And I just kind of say whatever comes to my mind.
I joke that my parents got either side of the spectrum. So thankfully for me, both of my parents are really, really funny. But my dad is more like quick wit, stand-up comedian funny. Mm-hmm. And my mom is more quick wit, zany funny. And I am like 50-50. But then I definitely take after my dad a little bit more in the stoic part. Because it's like my dad is very similar, where it's like, when it's good times and it's on, like, we are happy to be there and help be the life of the party. But the second stuff gets serious, like, we are, you know, Terminator, like, we will handle this situation.
But you don't turn away from it.
Oh, no.
And that's what I've really noticed about you, Crystalline, is you don't turn away from the scary stuff. You face it. And I do actually really, being on the Chamber of Commerce board with you is really fun, because I do see you make that switch from, you know, hey, everybody, what's going on, to, all right, we're getting down to business. And I can really appreciate that, because I think that I can be fun and keep my staff really happy and make jokes. But at the end of the day, I want things to get done.
Yeah.
And I'm a very fast mover and fast processor. So I can sometimes be a little bit zany to be around, especially if I'm just in a small shop with one of my other team members.
In our office, I say squirrel. So when we know that we've jumped topics and potentially someone hasn't like kept up with us, it's then we just go, oh gosh, I'm so sorry, squirrel.
I'm gonna start using that.
Yeah, it's from that movie Up.
I love it. I'm gonna start using that, and I have a feeling some of the folks at work for me are gonna be yelling at that at me all day, because I have really noticed that when I have especially right now in the build out phase, which is very different because it's all behind closed doors, right? So I'm just bouncing around, and I have a woman that has been really helping me with the transition. She'll remind me what I was working on. She goes, "Have you done that yet? Have you gone to Asia?" Okay. I started having fun, you know, putting wine glasses out, and then the next thing I know, I'm dusting something over there, and so it is a squirrel. I love it.
I have 17.
I'm taking it.
Please do, because it's from Disney. But I have 17 started projects and then I have to start getting over the hump and be like, okay, 17 started projects is cool. 17 finished projects.
That's right.
Even cooler.
That's right.
And on that note, we are going to head out to break. If you want to join us in this conversation, stay tuned and call us after the break.
This is Community Radio for the Coast Side. 100.9 KHMP. Coastal Windage is brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Pub in Half Moon Bay. Come for the food, stay for the fun. That's Cameron's Restaurant and Pub on Highway 1 in Half Moon Bay.
Hi, this is Jay Michaels. Make sure to join me along with Stan Warren Luttrell after Coastal Windage. We'll get a look at today in history and a brand new forgotten find. Coming up at 10 a.m. from 100.9 FM KHMB.
And we're back. And just a reminder that there is a different phone number for today. So if you want to call in and chat with us about any of your musings or how much you love Main Street or if you've been in the shop, please feel free to call us 650-712-1260. 1233. Thank you again, Marika, for being here and having this fun conversation. And so what is, so when the space was being worked on, which I think is what, two spots down from your current space?
Five doors down.
Is it really that far?
Yeah, it takes approximately, I don't know, I think 27 seconds to walk from one of my stores to the other.
Which is awesome for asset management.
It really is.
So when that space was being worked on, did you immediately feel like this might be cool to expand and pursue it? Or, like, how did that work out?
That's another great question. So when I saw the space was available, I had a thought in my head that I wanted to move Hometown Mercantile to that space.
Oh, got it. Okay.
So that was my original thought. Now, as happens often in my life, things sort of shift or I have wacky ideas. And I was thinking about the move and I was thinking about the inventory I wanted to bring in. And one of the things that I really wanted to do is bring in clean cosmetics. Mm. It's something that the demographic, you know, I'm in my mid-50s. A lot of women sort of in the 40s, 50s, 60s are really interested and are younger than that, of course.
I will just note now, our dear sweet Abby, who works with me at the chamber, could not be more excited, and she's in her 30s.
Okay, fair point. And that's a really great point too, to remember that my demographic is it's quite wide. You know, young women, older women, mostly women, let's be clear, unless men are coming in to look for a birthday present for somebody, which we're happy to help you with, gentlemen.
Although I will note, there are male cosmetics at Jupiter.
That is a very good point.
The men are not left out on Main Street.
That is a really good, some beautiful stuff. My nephews are obsessed with Jupiter and Main. They are 12 and 14, and these kids are stylish as heck. And every time they come to Half, I'm like, Marika, can we go to Jupiter and Main? Marika, can we go to Jupiter and Main? So you are exactly right that, you know, there's the men are definitely, they've got a great spot to go. So as I was thinking through this process of, okay, moving everything from the Mercantile five doors down, expanding into, clean cosmetics and also trying to accommodate all the categories that we have right now. Mm-hmm. Because as folks know who've been in, our categories are really, it's a large range of categories. We have everything from $4 Norwegian sea salt to $3,000 diamond necklaces from Paris, all in 650 square feet.
And I go there for my dog.
And we take care of the dogs, we take care of the kids.
I get my dog treats there, which are made locally, and I get his leashes and his toys.
All made locally, yeah. San Francisco, Half Moon Bay, for all those things. So when I started thinking through this process of potentially moving, I had a crazy thought. It was actually on a trip. I was in a winter trip in February where it occurred to me that it actually might make more sense to keep both spaces and have two shops. And believe you me, when I started telling my friends that, they thought I was insane. But I kept pushing back and saying, well, you know, we have enough to sort of peel apart the store, mm-hmm. the categories, to two distinct shops.
Yeah.
So that's where we've landed.
Yeah.
So where we've landed is that the Hometown Corner shop is really going to be focused on home decor. We're going to move our fine jewelry there. So that's where you'll find those Parisian necklaces. And we're going to move our pantry items, which is really sort of our fancy foods.
Yeah.
So that's all going to be over at the corner shop. And then at the Mercantile, that's going to give us space to do a couple exciting things. We're going to double our offerings of babies and kids stuff, double our offering for pet stuff. We now have dog beds.
Oh, my goodness.
Which are, you know, very non-toxic, organic. We'll have lots more of those treats.
Yeah.
Might have a whole shelf devoted to those. And that's where we're really going to expand clean, what I call clean body, clean face, clean scent. I have, when I was diagnosed with cancer in 2007, one of the things, because I was so involved in advocacy work already, my brain is always, how do I turn this into something that I can turn into good? Mm-hmm. So I already knew all the folks over at Breast Cancer Prevention Partners. A bunch of my friends worked there. I think maybe they had even been a client of mine. But one of the things that I said to them at that time was, listen, when I get through this first year of treatment, because early stage often is about a year of really intense treatment. And I said, when I get through this, if there's a way I can be a voice, if I can use what I've gone through to be an advocate, I would really like to do that. So I started working on chemical policy reform. This is a really longstanding issue in the United States. Some people might know a little, some people might know a lot, but we have very weak chemical protections with regard to beauty products, household products. And so I started working on trying to reform some of those policies with the team over there. And I did advocacy work in Washington, D.C., et cetera. But what I really learned during that time is that there are a huge range of what is in our personal products, what's in our household products. And so I started really learning about the different chemicals and how to really steer away from them. Because I love makeup. I love to put on makeup. I think it's fun. I think it makes me, it makes me feel better. And, you know, I enjoy it. Don't want to give it up. But I certainly want to reduce my chemical load. So what is exciting now with the Mercantile is to be able to start to offer that on Main Street and really increase the amount of safe cosmetics that are available for people without having to drive up to San Francisco or drive over the hill.
Yeah.
So that's a really exciting piece of what we're offering. Over at the corner shop, we also want to try to offer everyday essentials that people won't have to drive over the hill for. I think that we all really love our time here on the coast. And the last thing we want to do on a weekend after a long week of work is drive over the hill to go get some basic things that we need.
Yeah.
So the corner shop, while it's also going to have some really lovely, what I call little luxuries, we are going to have some everyday essentials that we feel really good about. We're going to have glassware that's not terribly expensive, but is well made. We're going to have organic sheets. We're going to have organic towels. So we're excited to offer some items for folks that are harder to find locally.
That's so cool. I'm so excited for this. And I have gotten a little peek inside at the organized chaos, but everything just looks like it's coming together so beautifully. And I think we should give a shout out to Joe Cotchett, who owns that building.
Oh, yes.
In having, you know, that space sat unused and kind of just slowly dying for quite a many years. I think it had just, through wear and tear, had gotten into such disrepair. I mean, I can only imagine how hard it is to run a restaurant and keep, and that's so much equipment and back and forth. So I'm sure all of that took its toll. And so he's really went in and rehabbed that space literally from the foundation up. And it looks gorgeous.
It looks gorgeous. And we're really just putting the icing on the cake. He developed such a beautiful space. I couldn't have asked for anything more as a shopkeeper. We walked in when it was finally done and just our jaws dropped. His team did such a good job. It's so beautiful. The foundation that we had to work with was just amazing. And Joe is really the best landlord anybody could possibly ask for. He's been so sweet and a big fan of the Hometown Mercantile. And we look forward to him and Nancy and Buster coming into the corner shop when it's open.
Yeah. And I think, even in some cases, I think we talked about this on the walls and stuff, even went above and beyond. You were like, we could have, it's beautiful. We could have lived without that.
That's
and
right.
He's like, no, this is what the plan was. We want it to look really gorgeous.
That's right.
And we're doing it.
That's exactly right. I think one of the things folks will notice when they come in is we have really had a vision of creating a space that feels less like a store and more like a living room. Mm-hmm. And the finishes that Joe included in the space have allowed us to do that. There's some really beautiful wainscoting, beautiful lighting. It's just a space that I think people are going to walk into, and it feels warm. It feels comfortable. It's a really pleasant shopping experience. And we will have a little seating vignette, which we call the sort of boyfriend, husband area for the guys that might not want to shop for everyday essentials. But and as always, dogs are going to be very welcome at the corner shop.
Yes.
And people often ask me, hey, is it okay if I bring my dog in? And I always tell them it's required that you bring your dog
in. In fact, you could stay outside.
That's correct. And we have thought about a dogs only policy, but we felt like that was maybe a step too far because they don't have wallets.
Yes.
So, you know, we do kind of need the human money to sustain. But we really, I cannot stress enough that we love your dogs.
And one thing that we have worked on, well, we've worked on a couple of dogs stuff together, but, the hometown sponsors the dog portion of the ugly sweater contest for Knights of Lights, which is so fun. And I'm just going to put out there now, this year we're going to take our first step forward in trying to take the world record for largest ugly sweater party, which is roughly 2,500 people.
I feel like that's super doable.
I feel like it's super doable. I do acknowledge it's going to take us a couple years to get there. unless 2,500 of you really just want to show up this year, which would be amazing.
I love it.
But a big component of that is we want to see those ugly sweaters on your beautiful dogs.
That's right.
And so that will be an aspect that comes back. And it's so fun working with you on the dog stuff because I am a huge, I've got my Moto Mayhem and just love all the dog stuff myself. So to be able to create fun, silly things for the dogs has been really great. And the other dog lovers on the coast side that created a dog show to help the Farallon PTO and things like
that. Which was amazing.
Yeah, yes. That was so much fun.
That's right. That's right. That was for El Granada Elementary. That team did a really amazing job. If anybody here came out to the dog show earlier this summer, it was really fun. And it will absolutely be an annual event. And the dog sweater contest is so fun because dogs look cute in anything.
Oh, gosh.
It doesn't matter. Ugly sweater, pretty sweater, just bring us your dogs, dress them up.
I love it when people put their little dogs in the little costumes where it's got a like little arms and a leg and it's a little person with a dog head.
It's so good. Ooh. And that really only works for small dogs. I've tried it on Jake. my dog is an 86-pound 13-year-old lab. He's actually turning 13 in less than a week.
That's amazing.
He's going to be a teenager.
Aw, happy
but
birthday.
But 91 in human years. but he's a great dog. And yeah, I've tried him in costumes. And the bigger dog's a little tougher. It's a little tougher to get a costume on Jake.
When I had my Malamute, so he was 110 pounds.
Oh my goodness.
Malamute. Although he did really look cute in t-shirts. T-shirts were adorable.
I love that.
But yeah, costumes were a little hit or miss.
But the dog sweater contest, we combined last year for the first time from Hometown Mercantile, combined it into the human ugly sweater contest. And it was, the energy was so high. I can't stress enough that make sure to enter your dog. I don't even think we required pre-registration. I think you just showed up.
No, it's literally be in the crowd.
Be in the crowd. We'll bring your dog.
Yeah.
so this gives me an idea. I think we might need to sell ugly sweaters for dogs at the Mercantile.
I think you should.
I think we're going to need to do that.
Yes.
Because where else are you going to go get your ugly sweaters for your dogs?
Yes.
So keep an eye open for those. And but, let's be honest. You don't need to spend a lot of money. Find something around the house and they'll look great.
Yes.
As long as they're in some sort of costume.
Yeah.
I think that's terrific. It can be a winter bandana. Last year, I think the dog that won the contest was maybe a puppy.
Yes.
Like a 12-week-old puppy.
Yes. In one of the little front front satchels.
Yes.
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 Yeah. I will say we are very generous judges.
We really are. I mean, we're really, you know, it's really about cuteness. You know, it's
pulling
less about the style. Exactly. Exactly. So don't be shy to bring your dog out. It is so much fun. It was so fun doing it at the San Benito house. And I have to talk a little bit about, I think anybody who has spent a winter season in a holiday season in Half Moon Bay understands how special Main Street is during the holiday season.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I watch a lot of Hallmark movies.
Oh, same. Same
okay.
girl, same.
Good, 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 good. Yeah, it's either Nordic Noir or Hallmark. It's very confusing. But, you know, starting November 1st, I do try to hold off until the day after Halloween. But the day after Halloween, it is on. I am watching Hallmark holiday movies, I don't know, every other day. Every day. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I've gotten a couple of my friends into it. Well, I had a friend get me into it, and then I had a couple friends get into it. And I have to say that the comparison of some of those little towns in Half Moon Bay, it's very strong. We live in a little bit of a, and I mean that in the best possible sense.
Yes. I would not be opposed to figuring out how to put a gazebo at MacDutra.
Oh, God, I would love it.
So many Hallmark festivals revolve around a beautiful gazebo.
That's right.
We do have a gazebo at Kitty Fernandez Park, bit farther down Main Street. But I would hate to do anything that disrupts those beautiful family homes that are also right there.
Right.
But yes, often when we work on Nights of Lights, that is what is in my head, is that one of these days. We've flirted with the idea of a ice rink.
Oh my gosh.
The only thing that has stopped us is cost. So if when the ice rink is here, they can make their own money, you know, in renting skates or whatever the thing is. But we've talked to the company that runs the rink at Walnut Creek. But there is a little bit of, there is some startup costs that we just unfortunately can't cover on our own. So if anybody's interested in helping sponsor a skating rink, we have ideas where we could put it.
That's right. Think of all the budding romances that would happen on an ice rink.
Yes.
That's where it always happens in the Hallmark movies.
Yes.
It's at the gazebo or it's in the ice rink.
Somebody
it
just
always
needs to take
culminates.
A little tumble.
Yes.
A little
that's,
tumble
that's
on the
right.
tuchus.
And then it's a meet
and
cute.
And it's love.
And then it's a meet cute.
Yeah.
And then it always sort of culminates in the tree lighting.
Yes.
And, you know, so.
Which we've gotten that really beefed up. So
yes.
I'm not sure. For those of you who haven't been to Nights of Lights since we changed. So it used to be that the tree lighting happened on the same night as the parade. And then when the pandemic hit and we had the opportunity to kind of reimagine Nights of Lights and kind of spread it back out into its original form, which was a multiple night event, we thought, well, we should just have the tree lighting as its own thing. And at the time, we were only able to fit a small tree on the MacDutra stage or near it. And I had a wonderful conversation with city manager. I think he was probably just coming into being city manager at the time, Matthew Chittister, and we had a lovely conversation about how we just really felt strongly that Half Moon Bay needed a big, beautiful tree.
Yes.
So Matthew worked with his staff, shout out to Moz and all the guys at Public Works, and they were able to build. So I looked at Matthew and I said, you know where a tree should go? Where that fountain is.
That's right.
What can we do to get rid of this fountain?
You need a tree more than the fountain.
Yes. And Matthew right-sized my expectations and said, no, we're not getting rid of the fountain, but maybe we can work to cover the fountain. So the city had this big, awesome platform made that goes over the fountain. And then we are able to get up to a 14-foot tree now.
Love it.
And put it on top of the platform. So
right.
then that gives it another 4 feet.
Oh, it's fantastic.
And then Public Works helps me decorate it every year with their big lift because Lord knows I'm not climbing the tree.
That's right.
And then we invite all of the kids on the coast side to or anybody to make ornaments and come down that first Friday, so technically Black Friday.
Yep.
day after Thanksgiving, come down to MacDutra at 6 o'clock for the annual tree lighting.
Love it.
And year, our expansion idea we'll have hot cocoa.
Oh, yay.
We are going to do Christmas karaoke.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, boy.
And anything else we can come up with.
I love this.
I will be honest, finding entertainment for the day after Thanksgiving has been really rough.
We really need carolers, don't we?
I have not been able
carolers
to.
Carolers unite out there. Pull together a group of people willing to do some really good caroling.
So thankfully, Eric DeBode of Abundant Grace, he does holiday karaoke as a part of the Abundant Grace program. It's really cute. So he is going to help facilitate.
I love that.
Christmas karaoke.
I love it. I just think the holiday season in Half Moon Bay is it's really joyful, and I feel like I'm living a little bit of my Hallmark dream by being a shopkeeper on Main Street during the holiday season.
Yes,
because that is often the premise of these Hallmark movies.
And speaking of the other thing that we're working on, you brought back to life last year after being dormant. I just want to make sure.
Yes.
Shout out to Charisse, my chamber executive predecessor.
Yes.
None of this is new ideas.
Right.
She's done these over the times. They had just lost their way.
Yeah.
And so you were instrumental in bringing back the window decorating contest.
That's right.
So this year, and what I found out on my family reunion trip this past weekend is that my cousin actually, like, professionally now makes those big beautiful ribbons because she's a dog show
person,
and so she learned how to make and now professionally makes those big beautiful ribbons for like dog shows. So we are gonna there's gonna be a window decorating contest again.
Yes.
So dear shop owners, please start thinking now.
That's
we will
right.
send out the
go
notice
big or go home.
And that the top three vote getters, which is voted by the public.
Yes, correct.
We do not hold any way,
nope,
way or sway over that. Last year we got, I believe, there's two numbers floating in my head. It was either 300 or 600. I'm going to say 300 to be, but we got like 300 votes.
Great.
For the windows. And so we're gonna up the window decorating contest by a couple of weeks so that the three top vote getters can get these big, beautiful ribbons and display them in their windows.
That is good motivation.
Yeah.
That is good. I'm just gonna say that is good motivation. And the window decorating contest is really fun. I will say most of the shop owners already were doing really gorgeous
windows.
Oh, yes,
absolutely.
And now we're just kind of incentivizing it.
Yes.
You know, everybody loves a little healthy competition.
And we love finding ways to show appreciation for people, going above and beyond. So it's showing appreciation for the work that they were already putting in and making it fun. And then allowing the community to get involved. Because now the community is coming down to Main Street specifically to scope out windows. Since the pandemic, the shop local sentiment has wound down quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So we were excited to be, so many of these beautiful shop windows.
Yes.
We're not necessarily getting the, eyes and appreciation that they should have been getting because, there was not as much shopping happening on Main Street. So, it's exciting to be able to just amplify the beauty of those windows and have the community actually make it a point to come out.
That's right. And we also want folks from over the hill and from the city to come down. One of the things that we hear quite a bit is that a lot of the other small towns around, they have a lot of the sort of the stores you see lots of places, you know, without naming names, the sort of bigger stores. And Half Moon Bay has done a really good job of keeping things local. The vast majority of stores are owned locally. We've got some new stores. Shout out to Pearl, which is going to be opened in October by Kelly Mumford, who already owns a gallery on the street. She is opening a really beautiful shop, and she's local. Colleen and Kevin, of course, are local. And, you know, Rachel's local. A lot of the shop owners are local. and they're independent. So we really have a wonderful scenario on Main Street in Half Moon Bay. It's exceptional too. This isn't common. You know, I think that people are really looking for that experience too of curated goods that you don't find everywhere.
And actually, in how kind of unique it can be, or unique it is to note that other towns, when you see, like, let's just say Carmel or Healdsburg or those areas, when you see curated small shops, it is typically ordinances. The local government has stepped up and said, we don't want big box stores in like these areas and stuff. And here it's organic.
That's right.
So it's like, we don't go out of our way to invite the big box stores.
Right.
And if they do want to come in, you know, try to keep it, in the shopping centers that are more fitting for those.
Yeah. That's right.
But yeah, it's just been very organic and by the true grit of the shop owners that they are just willing to stick out
the ups and downs,
situations and economic things and all that. And they are so, I think Paper Crane is coming on their 40th year.
That they are celebrating 40 years, which is astounding. And that has stayed in their family. They're a really terrific example of a family run business and has really stayed true to who they are and what they do. And they do it very, very well.
Gold Works is the same.
Goldworks.
You know, it's
and they
just,
give back so much to the community.
And even with Moonside Bakery, so although that didn't travel from family member to family member, when the owners wanted to retire, they worked really hard with their longest running employees to take over. And they are now successfully running Moonside and all of that. So
that's great.
Yeah,
that's
there's great. a lot of the shops that if you actually go in, shops and restaurants. And then even with it's Italia.
Yes.
So when they open Johnny's, it's you know, one of the Sweet Daughters is the one that kind of is the executive chef at Johnny's, and you know, there's just lots of family ties happening on Main Street.
It's amazing. It's really inspiring, and honestly, it is so much fun to be a part of it.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm living a little bit of a dream right now.
Yes, absolutely. So in our remaining minutes, give some information about the opening for the new shop.
Absolutely. So we're going to be opening. Our grand opening is all day, Saturday, September 13th. So if I'm doing my math right, that's 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Yep.
Holy cow. I better get back to the shop. So 2 weeks from tomorrow, we are doing a grand opening 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. It'll be all day. We'll have drinks, we'll have snacks. Harley Farm is bringing up goat cheese boards, and we won't have the goats that day. As those many of you know, every year we have the goats at Mercantile. They won't be there that day, but we will have goat cheese, and it'll be really lovely. And we just really invite folks to come in and poke around and just enjoy the space. Tell us what you think. You know, one thing about me is that I'm very open to feedback. I love when people come in and say, hey, why don't you carry XYZ? And usually the next week I carry it.
Yeah,
so
awesome.
We love to hear from people. We love to meet people. Even if you're not, you know, in the market for anything, just come in and chat with us and say hi.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And we also want to give a shout out to Pelagic in the Harbor. They had their soft opening yesterday for
amazing.
The new grill. So please also visit the Harbor and check out the new eats at the Pelagic Market and Grill.
That's right.
And with that, we hope you have the most amazing weekend. I did not look ahead and see if what the weather is going to. I don't know if it's hot or cold.
We're supposed to have some nice weather this weekend. As Crystalline said before, you know, we might have a heat wave about 68 to 70. So, you know, get ready. It's going to be real hot, 68 to 70. I like to tell people who aren't from here that, you know, anything below 55 and we're complaining it's too cold, and anything above 70, we're complaining it's too hot.
Absolutely. Well, enjoy the weather no matter what it tosses our way, and we will check you later. Thank you, Coastside.
Thanks, all.